to Perek Gimel. We are in the middle of Pasuk Vav. Right, Pasuk Vav. Mi zois oylo min hamidbar. Who is this? Who is this that has ascended from the desert? Kisimroi Sashan. This nation that appears to have the form of a pillar of smoke. Mikuteres mor ulovoina. Who has the fragrance of one that has offered incense, two select forms of incense called Mar Ulevayna. Mikol, the most choice. The Mar Ulevayna simply means it is the most choice of the Avkas Reichel, of the spices of the peddler. The peddler, that was the typical thing which the Reichel would sell. He would sell various forms of spices. Okay, so we learned yesterday the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos over here describes this referring to Klal Yisrael coming out of the Midbar. We're not going to repeat again. Let's see Rashi. We're up to Rashi, Pasuk Vav. Mi zois olam min haMidbar kishayisi mahaleches baMidbar, when I was traveling in the desert, v'choya amud ha'ayish ve'anon holchem lefonai. Okay, similar to what the Mitzudos taught us. And the Simrois Ashan is a metaphor for the amud, the pillar of fire, and the cloud, the Amud Ha'anan, Holchem Lefonai, for Hargim, and this pillar would kill Nechashim V'Akravim, the dangerous snakes and scorpions, the Serfim Ha'koitzim V'Habar Konim, and would burn the thorns and the thistles. Bar Konim is also, I don't know what exactly it means exactly, some type of thorn, some type of bush. Pricky bush. Lasos haderech meishar, in order to make the road a plain, a flat land. V'hoya he'onon ve'oshan oylim v'roin v'oysam, and the onon and the oshan would go up, would ascend. The onon and they would ascend, I guess, when they change of shift. When it came night, the amud esh arrived early, and then the amud he'onon left. When it came morning, the Amud Anan arrived early, and then the Amud Esh left.
Didn't you once refer to this as the Iron Dome?
The Iron Dome, I don't recall, but possibly. Okay, the Iron Dome, okay. So these things, they took shifts. V'hoya he'anon v'ho'ashan oilin. They would ascend. I guess it means they would ascend in their proper time. V'roinoy sabu umos, the umos olam would witness this event. Umas mihos al gidulosai, and they would be in awe, in wonder about my greatness. The oimrois, and they would say mizois. They would say the word mizois as an expression of praise. Kaloimar kama gidoila hizos. How great is this thing? Oile min hamidbar, this nation that ascends from the desert. The goimer. The end of the pasuk. Kisimro sashan gavoa v'zakuf kitamar. It looks like a pillar of smoke, which is tall, and it rises up straight like a palm tree. It rises up straight. So they're referring to this. So it seemingly, I think I'm not mistaken that when it says mizayis olam in amidbar, it refers to Klal Yisrael. It refers to Klal Yisrael. It refers similar to the Amud Esh Anan. The umos olam were in awe. Nikuteres mar al shem anan akitaresh shahaya mitamer me'al mizbech apnimi. So this refers to the anan hakitaresh, the karbonos that were offered on the mizbeach, specifically the kitaresh. The smoke of the kitaresh went up in a straight column. We know the secret. The Gemara in Masechta Yoma tells us that was because of the ingredient called the male oshan. The male oshan is a special ingredient which is only known by a select few. It's not ma'akev. Male oshan is not one of the yud aleph samamonim. It's not one of the 11 ingredients. It was in a supplement that was added to the Kitaris, and it had the nature, it had the koyach to cause the cloud, the pillar of smoke, to rise perfectly up. And the only one who knew what it was a special family, and they kept it a secret. Some, I remember we learned the Kitaris last week, that some of the opinions, some of the Mepharshim, they only put on Amal Oshan on Yom Kippur. This was the difference between the Kitaris of Yom Kippur and the Kitaris of the entire year. Besides the fact that on Yom Kippur the Gitaris was offered Lefnai v'Lefnim, and the whole year it was only offered on the Mizbech HaChitzayin, on the Mizbech HaPnimi, but an additional difference was the ingredients. Besides the 11 ingredients, what exactly, what else they put inside? And according to one of the Mepharshim, they put inside the Mala Oshan, it was only added on Yom Kippur, then there was an Inyan that it should go up in a straight column. Okay, Reichel, B'Shem, HaMoicher, Kol Minei B'Sam. The Reichel is the peddler, the one that sells all different types of spices. Afkas, Al-Shem, Shekoises. Why is Afkas? Why are spices called Afkas? So Rashi tells us that it comes from Avok. Avok is dust. Because when you prepare spices for the Ketores, it has to be ground into, has to be pulverized into powder. Fine powder. Al-Shem, Shekoises, Sin, Oiso. It is crushed. V'Sheichakin, had a Hodek. Ka'avak, and they grind it into fine particles like dust. That's why it's called the afkas, the dust of the peddler. Okay, now let's take a look at the Targum. Targum elaborates, quite an elaboration, exactly what this pasuk means, in addition to the simple interpretation. Let's right away jump pasuk of Kadwen. Saliku Yisrael min madbira. When Klal Yisrael ascend from the desert, va'avaru yos yar dino im Yoshua bar Nun. So here Rashi, the Targum tells that we're jumping ahead. We're jumping now into the Tkufa of Eretz Yisrael. We've crossed the Yarden. Amaru Amenei Ara, the nations of the land, the Canaanim who are there in Eretz Yisrael. Mohi do Uma, what is the nature of this Uma Vicharta, this chosen nation? What is the nature of this chosen nation, the Sol Kamin Mamin Madbara, which has ascended from the desert, Umis Gamra Min Kitores Busmin, and she is Mukuteres, meaning that she is what?
Adorned,
but it means she has the fragrance. She's perfumed. She is perfumed, min kitores busmin, with this select a collection of ingredients. Usiido bischusei. Now here's the part that's very fascinating, which really comes to explain the deeper meaning of the end of the pasuk. Usiido, see, that means that she is sated. Satiated. She is full. Bizuchusei de Avraham. She is fully sated in the merit of Avraham Avinu. Tiflach, who worships Vitzali and Davin, Kodam Hashem Bitur Moria. So that is the key word. Avka, the word mor, mikuteres mor. Mor is code for Moria. Har Hamoria. Avra. What?
Well, that was your addition, not his.
Okay, so Greg, you go Machavin, Betur Moria, that in the Zuchus of the Ten Nisyonos, Avram Avinu, the last Nisyon was the Akeda, which took place on Har Hamoria. And that's why Klal Yisrael is considered here to be Mikuteres. We are perfumed in the merit of the Zuchus of the Akedah, which took place Behar HaMoria, specifically the Zuchus of Avraham. Now, what's the next one? Ulevoina, what does that refer to? Umis Marga Meshach, and she is anointed. Okay, Ulevoina here, we have to add the word, she's anointed with the oil of the Shemen HaMeshach Ruv Revusa, of the Shemen HaMishcha, Bitzdakte, in the merit of the righteousness of who? Shalom Aleichem. We missed you. Okay, Refuah Shalema. Bitzdakte, the Yitzchak of the righteousness of Yitzchak, the Isakad, the Asar Beis Makdisha. The righteousness of Yitzchak that was offered in the place of the Beis Hamikdash, the Miskeri, which is called Tur de Livonta, which is called the mountain of Har HaLevona. So now we know the secret to why it's called Ulevoina. Ulevoina is a code for the Zuchus of Yitzchak. Why Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak was offered as a sacrifice in the place that would ultimately be the location of the Beis Hamikdash, and it's called Har HaLevonon, Har HaLevonon, the mountain of Lebanon. The cedars of the Levonon were used to build the Beis HaMikdash. That's a common expression in Tanakh. Har HaLevonon is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. And we hear the Targum says it is specifically Yitzchak. Now the next part of the Pasuk, the next part is Avkas Reichel. So you can guess, what's Avkas? Avkas is Avok. Vayi'ovek ish imo ad alois hashochar, is going to be a code for Yaakov. Umis Avdin Lo Nisin, Hashem did for Klal Yisrael miracles, Bechasidusei, due to the piousness, the Yaakov, the Ishtadal Ime Malacha, the Malach wrestled with him, ad until Misak Kiritzna, until dust, Kiritzna is until dust ascended, the Iskabar Minei, wait, the Ishtal, the Shadal, you mean Malach Ad, I'm sorry, Ad Misak Kiritzna means Alois HaShachar. I'm sorry. The Malach wrestled. The Ishtabak B'nei Malach Ad Misak Kiritzna until it was Alois HaShachar, it was dawn. The Iskabar Minei, and Yaakov Avinu prevailed. The Ishtezav Hu, and he was saved. Ustrei Asar Shiftoi, that's the Reichel, the peddler. The peddler has a lot of packages, has a lot of compartments. When you learn Masech the Kalim, there's certain the turmel. The turmel is the pekel, is the special knapsack. You familiar with this Masech the Kalim? The turmel. Is it one of the turmel?
Shepherd.
No. I think there's another one of a Reichel. Okay,
Shepherd's bag.
Okay, could be. But there's another one, a special bag that's used for the Reichel, for the peddler. And it has many compartments. So here, Yaakov Avinu, according to Targum, is called a person that has many compartments because he's a Reichel, because he has the 12 Shvatim. Each one has their own way of doing things. Each one needs their own compartment. So it's a metaphor for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so what do we take out of this Targum? Targum tells over here that we have three Zechut. Over here, we're referring to Klal Yisrael. What Tkufa? He's coming to differ with the Rashi and the Tara and the Mitzudos. We're not discussing the Tkufa of the Midbar. We are discussing the time of Yehoshua. That's the end of the pasuk. But Mi Zois Oila Min HaMidbar is referring to the time of when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael after they passed the Yarden under the leadership of Yehoshua Ben Nun. And the Canaanim says, who is this nation who is coming up, and they are enveloped in the Zuchus Ovis. What are the Zuchus Ovis? Mikuteres Moris Har Hamaria, Ulavoinos Har Halavonon, and the Zuchus of Yitzhak that was offered as a sacrifice. And the Targum specifically says it refers to the Shemen Hamishra. And the third is Avkas Reichel, we call Avkas Reichel. The Avkas is the Zchus of Yaakov Avinu and his merit that he was saved when he wrestled with the Malach, and that's why it's called Yaakov, the Avok, the dust. And Reichel is a peddler, because a peddler has many different peklach, and he had with him the 12 Shvatim, his 12 children. Okay, now there are some other short ideas. One other midrashim tell us that the reason why Mor is a code for Avraham Avinu, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and not necessarily for Avraham, not like the Targum that says it's short for Har Hamariah, but instead Mor is lashon of bitterness. Good morning. Mor is lashon of merirus, bitterness, and Avraham Avinu embittered his neshama by enduring the 10 nisyonos. When Hashem tests a person, it is a bitter experience. However, the sweetness comes later, through success, through prevailing, being oimid in the nisyon, then the sweetness comes at the end. But in the meantime, it's bitter. That's why we call Avraham Mor. Ki ulavoina, another medrash says, not that we're now we're focusing on Har HaLavonon, but we're referring to it is a mincha. Levoina is something that we add. You burn a spoonful of levoina frankincense. For example, the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim had the shnei bazichim, the two spoonfuls of levoina, and this levoina is offered upon all of the menachos. So it refers to Yitzchak, because Yitzchak was the levoina. He was the sacrifice. He was willing to give himself over as a sacrifice to Hashem, similar to the levoina. And Avkas Reichel, that yeah.
Another thing about Mor, if we say
about Mordechai, yes, Mor Duar, the Rosh
Hashanah. Similarly, Abraham is my Rosh in the Medrash. Abraham is also the Rosh of the Avos.
The Rosh Abraham is the Rosh, means most select, the choice.
The first.
Okay, the most choice.
The first.
The leader, okay, okay, okay. Okay, now there's another medrash that tells that the word Avkas Roichel, this pasuk refers to the zechus of Yosef HaTzadik. Why Yosef HaTzadik? Because Yosef, we have to remember when they came, it's interesting that when they came into Eretz Yisrael, whose bones were they carrying? Whose bones? They were carrying the bones, Atzmos Yosef. What about Yaakov? They already buried. Yeah. We buried 70 years ago. So the ones that were going on with the boat. So here it says, we call Avkas Roichel the dust of Yosef. Why is Yosef called a Roichel? Because he spread Lashon Hara about his brothers. He was this is the classic Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim always says that the gossip monger is the peddler. The peddler comes around with his collection
of the word Rechilus.
Rechilus comes from a Roichel. You're a peddler. You go from city to city, and you take all of your things that you bring with you, the peckle from one to the next to spread the news. So here it's very fascinating that over here when they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, Mizos Olam in Amidbar Mishapekes. Who's this one over here that's coming out of Simar? Mizos Olam in Amidbar, who's coming from the Midbar? Kesimros Asha, and I see here there is a column of smoke that you can interpret. Nikuteres Mar Ulavoyna. They are perfumed with fragrance. Mikol Avkas Roichel, from all of the dust, all of their merits come from the dust of Yosef HaTzadik. It was in his chus. In fact, Chazal say, Mara Hayom Ra Vayonos, Mara Aroinoi Shel Yosef. Because Yosef was the one that guaranteed, he was an av in the respect that he guaranteed, according to this is a very deep idea, maybe it's Maral, maybe it's a Pachayitzchak, that he put in the Klal Yisrael, the Koyach, that they would not intermarry. Even though in America, intermarriage rate is 70%. But that Klal Yisrael in its entirety would not be completely destroyed through intermarriage, because Yosef had that nisoyan of Eshes Potiphar. He was all alone, no one was watching. For a 17 year old, for a young man, what was he? Well, he was older than 17 at that point in time. Maybe he was. How old was he then? He was almost 30, 28. 28 years old. So someone that age to be oymed in the situation.
It wasn't that was.
Later. He was 17 years old. So he's a young man. For someone that age to be able to be oymed in this nesoyin is maver halarayin, is something which is l'mam der chateva. By him being oymed in that nesoyin, he put the mida in Klal Yisrael that they can always be oymed in this nesoyin. Just like Avraham put into Klal Yisrael the mida, he created the koyach to be meiser nefesh, to give up your life for Hashem. Likewise, Yosef also put a mida, he put a new gene into Klal Yisrael. They would be able to be oymed in the nisayon of Eshes Potiphar. So when they came to the Yam, and Ma Ro Hayom Vayonos, the Yam Halalu Oyv Devodazar Vahalalu Oyv Devodazar. What's the guarantee there will be a Klal Yisrael in the future? The guarantee is the Atzmos Yosef. Atzmos Yosef is the kernel of integrity in Klal Yisrael, the guarantee, the loyalty that there will always be a Klal Yisrael. We will not succumb to mass assimilation, mass intermarriage and assimilation, even though unfortunately we do know that it did happen multiple times, time of Ezra, today, but ultimately Klal Yisrael would survive.
Right, so one of the Gemara mentions in terms of the reference that's associated when after Shem and Ephraim left 50 years early and they were wiped out. The reason that they were wiped out, I think it's Gemara in Bava Basra, says that because they didn't take Atzmos Yosef. People not to take Atzmos Yosef.
B'nai Ephraim, their own grandfather.
So they that was a shvua.
A shvua they made, they didn't take it out.
They
didn't survive. But it is a very fascinating medrash. It gives a whole new line in this pasuk that Klal Yisrael's main schus to come into Eretz Yisrael was, just like we know that precedent was true when it came to the Yam, Kriyas Yamsuf, the same thing was needed when they crossed over the Yarden. If you combine this idea with the Targum that we're dealing here during the time of Yoshua ben Nun, and they crossed the Yarden, they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, the Umos HaOlam recognized that all of our merits, all of our perfume and our fragrance come from the Avkas Roichel, the dust in the box of Yosef HaTzadik, the Oron of Yosef HaTzadik, who is called the Roichel because he spread Lashon Hara about the brothers.
The Sephorno makes a point on this pasuk, Kisimah Sashon, is that originally after the Chet Ha'egel, So it was nostalgic, the Anani Yakovo. It came back after the Salakta level name will have the same as Alpomu, but not completely. Because God said, Uvion Pokdi, Upokadati Alechem, Tatmusom. And it came back when? When did God take his vengeance? By the Meraglim. He said, by the Meraglim, because initially they were destined to go to Simros Asher. The Anani Yakovo would have escorted them into Eretz Israel without Mokomo, Besimros Asher. And since after the Chet HaMeraglim, they lost that. That was it. So it was, you know, it left that part again. As Yom Kippur was the Meraglim, because why should they have been punished so severely for the Chet HaMeraglim? Because this was Yom Kippur Ufakadet the Aleim Katvasam. This was the comeuppance for the actual for the Ego.
Okay. Okay, there's one other measure I want to mention, and that is this expression, Afkas Troichel, is a term that is used by Chazal to praise a person for a divrei hespit. In other words, interesting list that I went there, so they had in Torah Das, they had the Shloshim for Rabbi Belsky, Zeche Tzadik Livracha. Very fascinating speeches, interesting, three different speakers, and like you can really, it fits very well into what it says here in this medrash. I'll read you the exact words. A reichel, the nature of a reichel is someone that is a peddler. What? This medrash is from Shir Hashirim Zuta. Are you familiar with that? You never seen it? Shir Hashirim Zuta. I'll read you the words. Kad Demach, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, when Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon was nifter. The word Demach means he died. Hayadoyroi Kari Olav, what was the hespit? So you know, it's always our bottom, always challenged to find good words of hespit, especially when it comes to a very great, really truly great person. The most, you know, the common thing they always say about people tzaddikim is they say what Hashem said about Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said, what was Moshe's hespit? Eved Hashem. Moshe's entire hespit was two words, short hespit, Eved Hashem. But they had a difference. So when this person, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, he was nifter. This is Rashbi's son. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, when he was nifter, what was the hespit? It was this pasuk. This is the pasuk they were maspid. Mi zois, who is this? Oyla min hamidbar kisimrois ashan, nikuteres mar ulavayna, this neshama that is going to ascend into Shemayim as a carbon. When a person is nifter, they're like a carbon, they're like a sacrifice that goes up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It is nikuteres, it is perfumed with mar ulavayna, the most choice spices, mikol, from all, meaning including, you have to loosely trace mikol including, avkas roichel, the spices of the peddler. Now what does that mean? So let me explain how they interpret this pasuk as divrei hesped. Kad demach, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Havadar, Koyar, love, they were called to me, they read this pasuk. Nikol Avas, and what is the interpretation? The Gemara, the Medrash explains what was the meaning of the Hespit. Nikol Avkas Reichel, Mahu Nikol Avkas Reichel, the Hava Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, he was a Koroi. Number one, he was a Koroi. What's a Koroi? He was a Bucky Muflug in Tanakh, in Psukim. He knew Tanakh on his fingertips. What else? Visonoi. He was a Baki Muflug in Mishnayis. What else? Ukiravoi. Kravoi means he was a Shliach Tzibur, person that came close to Hashem and was Mispalo to Hashem on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Ufoitoi, and he was a Paiton. Paiton, he was a Machaber, something over here. That's one of the things, that's one of the four things they praised him. He was a Koyach of Piyut. Rabbi Elazar, someone indeed says, this is a very fascinating Zoy, because there's a very big dilemma, very big mystery. Who exactly was Rabbi Eliezer HaKalir? Who was the Kalir? So, someone would say it was Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. They say that and then they reject it. Everyone says, yeah, it was Rabbi Elazar, the famous Rabbi Elazar. And they, doiche b'shtei yodai. It can't be Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon was a Tana. You're going back to the time of the Churban by Yesheni. It's not Mestaver. It's assumed that he was from the time of the early Rishonim. Early Rishonim, maybe the tail end of the Goinim. But to go say he was the Tana, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, this is already too far-fetched to say. However, this this Medrash Zoya Zuta really seems to give some weight to the theory that the Kalir was Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, because it says over here that he had four things. He was a Bakim Psukim, a Bakim Mishnayis, he was a Koyach HaTfilah, and he composed Piyutim. And notice, composing Piyutim, the Piyutim of the Kalir, really combine all three together. They combine Chumash, and they combine an incredible grasp of Tanakh, and this is all intertwined with Mishnayis, with Chazal, and it's all being said in the Koyach HaTfilah, with the Koyach of prayer, of davening, and it's all arranged in the form of beautiful Piyutim. Piyutim and Kinois, and all these different types of different poems. And that's really...
Every time they reject it, put back, because certain things that he said, the time frame doesn't allow for it to happen. Right. That's the problem.
Ruach HaKodesh.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, for those that want to say he was, that would be their answer, right?
Ufoitoi, and he was a python, Rimole, so therefore that's what they said about him. This was the hesped they gave. He was called the Avkas Roichal, the various spice of the Peler. Peler's nature is to go and mix together, to bring together many different types of things, and you bring it together. And we're learning here beautifully aside from this Medrash that what exactly is Piyut? Piyut is Avkas Roichal. It's the combination of Psukim, Mishnayis, the Koyach HaTfilah. Shouldn't underestimate that a piyut is not just a poem that you sit back on your armchair and you are on your recliner and think about, oh, such beautiful poetry. The koyach of piyut is to be expressed. It's to be said through tefillah, to use as a means to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's worded with eloquence and sophistication in what we call a piyut. And this is what it says about him. And this was the hesped. He was the Avkas Roichel. Okay, let's now go on to the next pasuk. Next pasuk is a very popular pasuk. Hine mitaso shalish Shlomo. The mita, the bed of Shlomo. Shishim giborim savvla. There are 60 giborim which surround it. Well, we do migiborei Yisrael, and these giborim are from the giborei Yisrael. Which we pasuk has to do together. Kulam, all of them, achuz zeichev. All of them are people who hold the sword, who behold the sword, milumde milchama, they have experience, ish al charbo al yirecho, each one has their sword upon their thigh, mipachad balil, due to the fear of night. This should sound familiar. This is one of the things that we say in the Kriyashma al Hamita. Kriyashma al Hamita, this pasuk is part of the Nusach, these two psukim, obviously because it's night. Vitel, we all say that.
I think
could be okay. I think it's the Kriyash Lamita, we for sure say that.
Yeah.
And it makes obvious sense that when you go and you do to the Pachad Delilah, you need to have Malachim Shishim, you need to have Malachim surrounding you. Now, a different interpretation of exactly what this Pasuk means. So let's do it one step at a time. First with the Mitzudos, Pasuk Zayin. Hine mitaso shalish lomo lefi, marbis ahavasa el hachoshok, due to the intense love, the Isha has for her object of love, the dote, hayagodl be'necha, ad shekina oysa b'shem melech Shlomo, shahaya hagodol v'hamutzlach b'chol b'nei Adam. So we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we're referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by describing Hashem something which we can relate to. You only can describe something with terminology and with concepts that you can relate to. So in this world, that's what Chazal say, Malchusa da'ara ke'ein Malchusa da'rikia. It's necessary that there be in this world Malchus, so that we have at least a taste in order of appreciating the Malchusa da'rikia, of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus. And there was no such thing in this world as Malchus. There was only democracy. And there was no such thing as Malchus. How in the world would we be able to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? One thing is for sure, in Shemayim it's not a democracy. Hashem is not up for re-election every 4 years or every 6 years. Okay, and Hashem is not a Supreme Court justice who has a life term sentence either. That's not the way it works in Shemayim. There's something called Malchus. Okay, so we living in a world, we... What?
No Super
Tuesday.
Super Packs.
Money people? Okay, it doesn't exist. Think about it. If this world would have come, if this world, the government from time immemorial would have been through democracy, we would have a very hard time understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem is the Melech. What does it mean Hashem is the Melech? Hashem put into this world the Koich of Malchus for many centuries in order that we could appreciate what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malchus the Arakei, Malchus the Rakia. Here too as well, when we want to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're borrowing from the person who was appreciated and the most beloved to the entire nation, and that is Shlomo HaMelech. We don't appreciate what this means. We are also used to criticizing our leaders and always questioning their ways. But in time of Shlomo HaMelech, he was beloved. He was a treasure. He was everything to Klal Yisrael. So now, when we want to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is abstract, which is lemaila me hasagos hagos, greater than our hasagos, we look to something which we can relate to, and that's what the Targum here says. One more time, ad shekino oisay b'shem Melech Shlomo. We are referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Shlomo HaMelech shehaya. Because he is the closest thing that we can use to relate to Hashem, Shahaya Hagadol v'Hamutzloch, the greatest and the most successful Shebuchol Bnei Adam, V'Choy Omra El HaNa'aros. And so this Isha says to her fellow maidens, "Let me tell you about my dod. My dod is not like the average Joe on the street. The one that I have a relationship with is Hine." In good old days, in time immemorial, but before I sinned in the Cheder Egel, I was so close and precious in the eyes of the Hechashuk, the object of my love, ad ki mipachtoi pen shoydei laila, due to the fear of the people that go around at night, these lowlives, these bandits that lie in ambush in the middle of the night, because my daughter was so afraid, who knows, that maybe some predator, some who knows who will come in and snatch me away from him in the middle of the night. You know what he did for me? Also, Shmir Mu'ula, my dote, he made for me protection. He provided a security force. He had an entire army guarding me. Also, Shmir Mu'ula v'savas amita b'shishim gibarim. He surrounded me with 60 gibarim gibarim Yisrael haneemanim al hashmira, who are trustworthy. You have to always suspect that maybe there's some type of mole. Maybe the people, the guardians, maybe they have their own agenda. They're going to attack her. Levilti te shina le'nehem. They are guarded that they will not fall asleep, period. So therefore, v'hanim shel, what is the message? Hu lo yamar hinei v'beis hamigdash ha'yoshishim kitos gibarim. So the nimshel is, in the Beis Hamigdash, there were 60 groups of gibarim, v'heimo choftal l'mishmaris kohuna, v'choftal l'mishmaris levia, u'shteim esrei mach loikos yisrael, and 12 groups of Jews. 12 shvatim. I guess this refers to what the Maimer, but the Maimer, what is it called again? The Anshe Maimed. Maimed, the Dalit? Yeah. So they were broken up into 24 groups. So I guess this refers to earlier times when we only had 12, representing the 12 Shavatim. Kain hu b'medrash, period, v'kulam hu yutzadikim, v'zrizim, v'gibarim, v'chvishas yitzram, in conquering their Yetzahara. So he says here quite a bit. So first of all, again, we have to remember that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were 24 Mishmaros of Kohanim. By the way, that was a much later innovation, because originally the Gemara says there were only 12? David originally only established there to be, or Moshe. Moshe only established in two different gifts in the Gemara, only 8 or 12. And then came along David. David expanded it to more. And then came Shlomo, even more. And then later, Shmuel came along and made it into the 24 that we have today. So the one that finalized the number of Mishmaris of Kohanim that they were going to be in Klal Yisrael was Shmuel Hanavi. Until that point in time, it evolved from Moshe, 8, to David and Shlomo, 12, 16, 18, until...
Who was before them?
Shmuel.
What's up in Shlomo? Anyway, before Shlomo.
Wait, so who then? Wait, you're right. You're 100% right. So who was the one that Yes, I don't remember. But basically, Shmuel was instrumental, and we learned this in Devarim. Shmuel was instrumental in coming to the final number of 24. It's a pasuk. Okay, so at some point in time, it evolved. It started out as being less, but then ultimately it reached the number of 24. And during the time of the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Shini, there were 24 mishmeres of Kohanim. We're all familiar with this from the Mizmor, from the Kina on Tisha B'Av of Chavatzeles Hasharoyim. Chavatzeles Hasharoyim there enumerates the 24 mishmeres of Kohanim. It even gives each mishmer by its name. Each mishmer lived in its own particular city, and each week a different mishmer would come into the Beis Hamikdash, and they would divide into six groups, the six Bati Avos, and they would alternate. They would work one day a week, and on Shabbos they all work together. We discussed this mishmeres many times, all different ideas, diversity in Klal Yisrael. Okay, and this is what over here he's alluding to, that just like there were 24 mishmeres of Kohanim, there were also 24 mishmeres of Levian. Same exact thing. They had their different cities, and they would ascend and they would work with the Kohanim, and eventually there were 24 mishmaros of Yisraelim, and they would also have to come to the Beis Hamikdash and be mispalel to daven the entire day when the korbanos were being offered. And on Monday through Thursday, they would fast. This is the Mishnah Masechta Tainis. There was no fasting on Sunday because it's too difficult to go from Shabbos to fasting. So Sunday was not a fast day. But the other days of the week, they fasted and they would daven the Hashem Shem Kabbalah Kabbalah. But it appears from this Medrash, he's quoting a Medrash here in the Mitzudas, is that in earlier times, the Yisraelim were not yet divided into 24 groups. I guess they would divide into 12 groups for each of the 12 Shvatim. There were 12 Shvatim, and that's where they were represented. So if we eat up and do the math, we have 24 plus 24 plus 12 equals 60. And that's what it means over here. The Mita Shel Lishlomo, according to the Mitzudos, is signing one of many Midrashim, refers to the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is a Mita. Shel Lishlomo is a code for Hashem. L'mi Shehashaloim Sheloi. To the one to whom peace is his. Who is that a code for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Beis HaMikdash. Shishim Gibayrim Savivla, it was surrounded, it was cared for, it was run by an administration of 60 Gibayrim, 24 Mishmeres of Kohanim, 24 Mishmeres of Levim, plus the 12 Shvatim of Yisrael. They cared and they were the guardians, the custodians of this Mita of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of these people that serve in the Beis HaMikdash. But don't get up, I'll get a few. No, don't. It's okay. Don't. Don't strain yourself. It's not kedai. Okay, so these Giboirim all were people that were Giboirim over the Yetzer Hara. And that is the interpretation of the Mashal of the Mitzudas David. And it's going back, that's the Nimshal of the Mitzudas David. Just go back one moment to the Mashal is a very fascinating idea, which we've mentioned many times, is that when it says Shlomo, Shlomo refers to the Ish Shlomo, Shlomo HaMelech. And when we try to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a very fascinating, it's a very deep idea. We have to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. No matter how far, no matter how, what we think we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't even know a teeny mashu. And when we live in this world, we're given reshus to make mishalom. He takes something in this world, which you can relate to, you understand, and you use that as a template in order to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some would argue that Sabi Kurs is to do that. How can you go say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech? How can you say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely greater than any possible melech there is in this entire world? But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not put us into this world in order to trick us, and he put us into this world to give us everything in this world as a mashal to relate to some teeny dimension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in Klal Yisrael, the thing that was the most beloved to them was Shlomo HaMelech. He here is being used as a mashal to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, let's now see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin Hei Mitasa Shel Shlomo. We have a different medrash. Rashi is not taking the Medrash of the Mitzudos of the Beis Hamikdash is referring to the Oihel Moed. We are still in the Midbar, or we're in Gilgal. We have come into Eretz Yisrael. We've served the Mishkan for the first 14 years in Gilgal. Oihel Moed, the Ha'oron, Shayunoisim, Bamidbar, which they carried in the Midbar. Now Rashi here really is saying two different Midrash. What Rashi here does is very, very interesting, because at least from the Midrash that I saw, it's very elaborate. The Medrash Rabbah, one Medrash says the Mitosa Shel Shlomo refers specifically to the Oroin. Another Medrash says it refers to the Mishkan. Another says it refers to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, then there are others we'll come to. But they don't mix the two together. If it's the Oron, it's not the Oil Moed. If it's the Oil Moed, it's not the Oron. Rashi here very interestingly puts the two together. It's the Oil Moed, the Ha'oron. The meat of a Kodesh Baruch Hu are these two things combined together. Shayneisim Amidu, which they carried in the Midbar. Shishim Gibarim Savla, Shishim Riboy Savla. Beautiful interpretation. What does it mean, Gibarim? It doesn't mean 60 individuals, doesn't mean 60 Mishmaris, it means Klal Yisrael. Shishim Riboy. There's a missing word in the Pasek. 60 times 10,000. 600,000. 60 multiplied by 10,000. Shishim Riboy Sadevla Migibare Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, they're all called Biyotze Hatzava Levad. There were 600,000 men in the army. Levad, besides Pechusim Iben Eshim, because we're saying Migibare Yisrael, in order to be a Gibor, there have to be people that are not Giborim. This is a technique. If everyone is Choshev, no one is Choshev. You have to have different statuses in order to create chashivas. And some people, unfortunately, there are people who are experts in this, and in order to do that, the lahachis, they'll make people, they'll push away people in order so there can be different madregos. If everyone is chashev, what? Classes. If everyone is chashev, no one is chashev. So therefore, I only talk to you. If I only talk to you, and I don't talk to you, the reason why I'm not talking to you is in order that he can be chashev. Understand what I'm saying? This is called abuse. Okay, not to go into this. But any event, since the pasuk over here says shishim gibam, if there are shishim gibam, that implies there are people that are not gibam. Who are those that are not giborim? Everyone else.
Military, everything is rank.
What? You know, military. The military.
You know, the guy below you, you have to salute. He salutes you first. There's even officers and enlisted men's bathrooms in the military.
Separate bathrooms. Well, they have that in every shul. They have your faculty all in schools. Faculty and it's not that.
They don't trust the teacher, that's right.
Okay. Miyotze Hatzavon, he's making a point, Rashi is making here a very important point. Since it says here, there are Shishim Riboy, 60, the whole Klal Yisrael, that means the whole, everyone in Klal Yisrael is a Gibor. If everyone is a Gibor, no one's a Gibor. Everyone can be a Gibor, because the Gibor has the connotation that you're extra special. The answer, that's right, there are people that are under the age of 20, and they're women. They're not Giborim. That's what he says. Levad pichusim ben eshim v'hayiserim, and more, even those that are yiserim al bnei shish, those are older than 60. So those are not the gibarim. So there were exactly 600,000 men in the army. Chazal tell us there were approximately 3 million Jews in the Midbar. Okay, this concludes the Rashi. Now we go to the Targum. Hine mitasay shalish levay pasuk zayin. Kad bino Shlomo Malko Yisrael Yospes Makdisha to Hashem Birushalayim. So right away we see that the Targum is following the interpretation of the Mitzudos. We're focusing over here on the base Hamidash, the Mitosho Shalishlomo, but notice it's not, like I told you, what I said in the Mitzudos, Misha Shalom Shaloy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather when it says Shlomo, it refers to Shlomo HaMelech Mamish. When Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, just based on the Shav, the Hashem Yerushalayim, Omar Hashem B'Memra, Hashem said, Kama Yohei Beis Mukdashah HaDein, how beautiful is this Beis HaMikdash. The Ispinili that was built to me, Al Yido D'Malka Shlomo Bar David, by Shlomo the son of David. V'chama Yo'ayon, so here is the same thing as the mitzvahs. How beautiful are the chahanaya, the idon, totally different. How beautiful is it when the kohanim do birchos kohanim and recite the 60 letters that come out of the 15 words of birchos kohanim, the idon de farsin yidehon, when they spread their hands, the koimin al duchonehon, they stand on the platform and they spread out their hands, umvarchin la'ama beis Yisrael b'shitin osin, with the 60 letters dim sirin lemoshe ribhoin that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ahi birchasa, and that blessing misacharo lehoin surrounds Klal Yisrael kishuram, like a tall wall, v'sakif, that is strong, uba, and in it miskabrin, and with it miskabrin umatzlichin kol gibore Yisrael, all of the mighty warriors. It's beautiful, beautiful Targum, and tells you about the koyach of Birchos Kohanim. The Birchos Kohanim, there are exactly 60 letters. There are 15 words. Has exactly 60 letters, and that's here what it means. The mitaso shel Shlomo is the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, there are shishim giborim samivla. There are 60 letters that are coming out of the mouth of the kohanim when they bless Klal Yisrael, and these 60 letters are the gevura of Klal Yisrael. It protects. Look at these powerful words. Now you want to know why people are so they love to hear Birchos Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, and why the Gedolim desperately wanted there to be Birchos Kohanim in Chutz Li'aretz, but were unsuccessful. That's again, these words are. These words are birchasa misachar lohom. These words surround us kishur, like a wall that's ram v'sakif uba, and with these 60 letters miskabrin umatzlichin kol gibore Yisrael. Okay, so we have over here the 60 letters. Now, this indeed is. Now, what's the significance in there being 60? So we know that there is a minog Yisrael, and it's a medrash. Should read the medrash. The Medrash elaborates upon this, that when a person has a bad dream, he's supposed to stand at the time of Birchos Kohanim and recite the Yehi Ratzon. And that's what we do. We do three times a year when the Kohanim, there are so many beautiful Nigunim, that the Kohanim sing melodies that they sing right before they say the last word of Birchos Kohanim in order to give us time to read the Yehi Ratzon. And if you say the Yehi Ratzon, it's all about Chalom Chalamti Ve'en Yodeh Mahi, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha, that if I had a bad dream, whether it's upon me or by someone else, someone dreamt upon me, you should be Mechazik and you should transform the dream. Why do we focus on dreams during the time of Birchos Kohanim? So it has to do with the number 60. Because a dream is a minor prophecy. And the Kohanim are the prophets. The Kohanim, when they speak, Kohanim, they would typically, Yirmiyah was a Kohen. They would typically, the words of the prophets are words of Nevuah. So the Kohanim are the words of Nevuah. So it's Bittul B'Shishim. That's the principle. 60. We have a principle all over Chazal. 60 is the number of Bittul. The 60 letters of Birchos Kohanim, which is a form of prophecy, that are coming out of the mouth of the Kohanim. The Kohanim are the teachers, the Medabrim. Aaron Achicha Yiyeh Kohanecha will be your prophet. It's Bittul Beroif. In case we have a bad dream, we come to the Birchos Kohanim, it should be bottled in the Nevuah, the good Nevuah of Birchos Kohanim. Where is their Bittul? This Pasek. Shishim Gibarim Savivla, because Birchos Kohanim has 60, and 60 is the magic number for Bittul. Yeah?
So the Gemara we had this week about if you dream about, you know, the
my mother said if I don't come, and right, the child told the mother,
Birchos Kohanim, and you change your dream. It doesn't mean you have to.
So he said that you should try to pacify the mother, and if the mother is
if you go to Birchos Kohanim, you can actually change.
So in Echam, he alluded to that. So tell the mother to go to Birchos Kohanim, and he indeed said that. So he did say all these different tricks to try to convince the mother not to. But in the event that the mother is the refused to be pacified, then he said it wasn't necessary to do to reinter the that bed.
I mean, we know that in Chazal that because.
Also, you know, I you're right. I think it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. I think it's in the Mishnah. It's in the Mishnayis.
Yeah, but
It's in the Mishnais in Seder Zeroim. There are a couple of Mishnais that mention Shishim, and if it's in Mishnais, it's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai that the principle of Shishim operates with 60. So then it's a Mishnah. It's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So therefore, when it comes to Nevuah, we also apply it here as well. Okay, now let's see. There are a couple other Midrashim. Okay, there's another very interesting idea of the number 60. We're referring to the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Sanhedrin Gedolah. How many members sat in the Sanhedrin Gedolah? In the Lishka Gozis? 70 members. Then there was the Sanhedrin Ketana. Now, I always thought there's only one Sanhedrin Ketana.
But
that's a whole area. The whole city is. The Sanhedrin Ketana is 23 members. But how many, on the Har Habayis, how many Sanhedrin Ketanas were there? One or two. I always thought one. But according to this one Medrash, there was two. There was the Sanhedrin Ketana in the Ezras Noshim, and there was another Sanhedrin Ketana that was in the Har Habayis. So on the Har Habayis, there were two different small courts, and there was one major court, the Lishkas HaGozes. How many Dayanim do we need to follow for Psak Halacha? Roif. So whenever there's a disagreement, you're basically going to follow the majority. If you have 70 members in the Sanhedrin, what is the majority? 36. If you have a bezin of 23, what's the majority of 23? 12. If you have two bote dinim that are Sanhedrin Ketana, so what's the total number? 24. 24 plus 36 is 60. So when it says over here, Hinei mitasa shalish lamo, the Medrash says, this refers to the Beis HaMikdash, Shishim Gibarim Savivla. The Shishim Gibarim are the deciding votes. And Michal, the delegates. These are the delegates. These are the deciding votes. Shishim Gibarim Savla Kula Migibari Yisrael. They are the ones who make the decision. The Shishim Gibarim. Everyone else doesn't count. They are the minority. And the minority is discounted. It's a very interesting idea. Very interesting idea. Now, the reason why this idea I find to be so interesting is because I remember in one of the kinos on Tisha B'Av, I don't remember which one, it's one of the very famous kinos, it says that when the kinos they came into the Beis HaMikdash and he stabbed the paroiches and blood came out. So it says there in the middle that they turned around the next day and the 93 kalim were not to be found. 93 kalim. Now what does it mean 93 kalim? So it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah Masechta Tamid that says that there were 90. If you make a calculation of how many utensils were needed for the day for the carbon tzibar, you need exactly 93 kalim. Tamishal Shachar, Tamishal Ben Harabayim, and then for the Ketores and the Menorah. I don't know. I'm not familiar with the calculation, but for all the various carbonists that you needed,
93.
So you needed exactly 93 utensils in order to bring all the various korbanos of the tzibar. And the Gemara in Masechet Tamid says, why do you have to have 93? The Gemara says, because in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, Hashem's name appears 93 times. My Indian Ezra Nehemiah to the 93 Kalim of Beis HaMikdash, maybe it's also including Daniel, it could be it's Daniel also, Daniel Ezra Nehemiah, my Indian Zeitzel Zeh, it's not really clear. And also the very big problem is that if you go and you count Ezra Nehemiah, you're not going to find 93. You're going to find either more, I don't remember. So there's a lot of time, everyone struggles what exactly this means to explain the significance, the connection between these Svarim, and exactly how many, what to count as a Shem's name, what not to count. But I once heard a very interesting idea, the reason why it says 93, it wasn't referring to the 93 kalim. It was referring to, if you look, because there are other problems with the kina. But just to throw out the idea, the 93 referred to the 93 members of the Sanhedrin, because there were two Sanhedrins. There was the 70 plus the 23, and the greatest tzar Klal Yisrael had was they came in when Titus came into the Beis HaMikdash. And he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't just that he destroyed, he stabbed the Aron, and he took all the Menorah, and he took the Kalim. He put an end to the Sanhedrin. The 70 members of the Lishkas HaGozes, and the 23 members of the Sanhedrin Ketana, that is the life of Klal Yisrael. It's nice to have big buildings, but it's more important to have people in the buildings. There was once two organizations that were they had advertisements in the newspaper at the same time, two major league institutions. One institution, their advertisements were back to back. One institution was, they showed their building, gorgeous, state of the art new facility, and the advertisement on the side of the competing organization, they showed Talmidim, students, learning. So the Rav, he said, look at the difference between these two advertisements. One is focusing on the building, and one is focusing on the people. One is more important. What is a better advertisement? What is with more seichel? People. It's not the building. You can have a multi-million-dollar building, state-of-the-art building, a facility. Who cares? What is your product? What are you trying to produce? Show us your product. That's what counts. You had a beautiful Beis HaMikdash, but what counts in the Beis HaMikdash are the 93 members of the Sanhedrin. 70 plus 23. 93. Now the reason why I point that out is because that idea, which the Kina, if that is the correct interpretation of the Kina, the Kalir, you know, is Kodesh Kadashim, and if this is indeed, if this there is validity to this interpretation of the 93, and referring to the 93 Kalim, which is a human being, is a Kli Shares, is a member, is the ultimate servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's inconsistent, that is in disagreement with this Medrash that says there wasn't one Sanhedrin Ketana, there were two Sanhedrin Ketanos, which makes it a total, that adds that, and then we're focusing on the number 60, on the deciding, and when we get to a different number, 60, by focusing on the deciding votes. 36 plus 12 plus 12 for grand total. I just want to point out that this holds, there were two major Sanhedrins operating in the Harabais.
What do you mean there are two types of Sanhedrin out there?
Two, what do you mean?
Types of Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
And there was another type of Sanhedrin of 23.
23.
More than
could have been multiple groups.
Yes.
Multiple groups. Okay, but interesting, what was their exact role? What was their exact role on the Harabais, these three? Okay, so that's an interesting idea. All right, now there's another interesting medrash, which is very, very, very interesting. It's a very short medrash, but it speaks volumes. It speaks volumes. We always hear Midrashim telling us how careful the members of the Sanhedrin have to be in regard to mammon. Someone comes into your court, if you have any negias in the outcome of the case, you're not allowed to have any dealings with this in serving as a judge. Because it's not, you're not gay when it comes to mammon. But the Midrashim focuses on a nida, on a woman. A woman that comes into Beis Din and she has a question, is she a nida or not? So one of the dayanim may have a taiva for her. Strange case, right? Have a taiva, not so strange in this generation. And he'll decide, he'll pass that she's kosher, that she's not a nida for his own benefit, because he wants to live with her. So let me read you the Medrash. It's very shocking. Davar acher, imbas isha lefanecha lebeis hamidrash, lisha lecha she'ela ala kisma, a kesem, is she a nida, is she not a nida, the color of the blood, is she a nida or not a nida, v'al nidasa, im tairihi oy din nida lo, oy din ziva, lo tehe roye oysa. So this pasuk over here says, you should look at her as if she's your daughter. Just like your daughter, and no normal person has a Yetzer Hara for their daughter. You have to be really sick for that. So, that has come out of your own loins, right? Your own a product of your womb. Your own that came out of you. So just like you have no negias to your own Basar V'dam, so to that is what the Sanhedrin of Tispached Medina Shel Gehenim. That's how you have to look at an isha that comes to a sheila into your bed. In other words,
he's not talking about a married woman, because if he's talking about a woman who's not married,
and was still nizra on taharas.
Right.
Ancient times, even the girls that were not married would go to mikvah. So then he may have a yetzahara, and that's the deeper meaning of this pasuk. Yavu here. Kulam achuz zecher beludim mulcham. Talmidei chachamim. They are achuz zecher and the beludim mulcham. The mulcham de shal Torah. Ish charbu al yirecho. Every time you isik in the mulcham de shal Torah, make sure you have a sword on your rechai, upon your thigh. Meaning, look at the isha when you're dealing with the shayla of nashim, and the person is human, a human being, a healthy human being has a taiva for nashim. He has a yetzahara. Make sure there's a sword on your yurechai. Meaning, look at the isha that you're deciding that she should be as if she's your own daughter. Your own daughter, you wouldn't imagine doing all these things you hear about in the news. All these types of corruption. The pachad balelos tu to the pachad of the dina shel gehenen. If you pass in a shaylim nagein isha, you have a hero for an isha, or start taking her into private quarters and starting all these horrible stories, then you're not a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham has to be a giborei milchama with a charbo al yirechai. The cherev has to be al yirechai. It should be so usher to you as if, like emor lechachem achosiyat, as if this person is your child because of the pachad of the yom hadin. This is a medrash of probably today's day, and unfortunately the news has a lot of applications in this day and age. Okay, another interpretation of the Medrash is al yicharbo, ishcharbo, al yirecho. You all can probably guess what it refers to, the bris milah. The koyach of the bris milah, the gibari melchama, have to be people who have the sword on yirecho, bris milah. And according to the Rambam, bris milah doesn't just mean it's an ois bris. The reason for bris milah, according to the Rambam, is to be memayate the yetzer hara for nashim. I always wonder if there's any scientific evidence to this being correct. Is anyone familiar with this idea? That people who have a bris milah have less of a yetzahara than
the yellow boat. These people who are against bris say you're taking away.
You're taking with the taiva, so they acknowledge.
I don't know if there's any scientific evidence. There's lore about
that's
it.
That's certainly the.
There's a group now that's anti. That's what they're positing.
Yeah. So they claim it. There must be some truth to it. But does that mean there's a yetzahara, or there's just more tainug?
More nerves.
There's more tainuk. I don't know if it means there's more of a yetzahara, just because there's more of a tainuk. Maybe totally zebezeh. I don't know. But here it says that Talmidei Chacham, one of the conditions of a Talmud Chacham is to be koivesh, the yetzahara, it can lead to very great danger if it's not kept in check. Okay, let's see. The Medrash. Okay, we discussed. Alright, there are some other things, but I think we'll leave it with that. Let's go to the next. Okay, it's 21 to 21 an hour. Okay, so I guess here is a good place to stop.